Yes. Buenos días. So today's Father's Day, and we celebrate Father's Day, and every day I say, joyful, joyful day in heaven. We have the greatest Father of all. And that's a blessing, and I believe that fatherhood is now on earth through every person. Sometimes it's an uncle, sometimes it's a father, sometimes it's even a mother, sometimes, I mean, it's anyone, because God is a spirit, and he showed up in mighty ways to show people the way of fatherhood. This is awesome. Well, today, we are going to focus on this powerful sermon series on the book of Nehemiah, and let's just read the title of the series together. Together, and again, say it like you believe it. Amen. So today we're going to focus on building and guarding against opposition. Nehemiah 4, 1 to 6. And again, I'm going to read part of the scriptures, and you and I are going to read together the underline. So let's please stand to honor the word of God. This is the word of God. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, the Jewish in the presence of the associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? We will restore the wall. Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble? Imamite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? Even a fox climbing upon it will break it down the wall of stones. Hear us, O God, that will despise, turn their insults back on their own heads, give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall, the wall of it reached half its height, for the people work with. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know, but I love to see this public reading of the world. That's the way it was done in the past, in the book of Esdras and other books. People read the word together. That was powerful. And I know that Stephen only wants to read just little thing. No, I want to read the whole thing. Right? Because here is for me the opportunity for all of us to read together and hear the word of God aloud and brings the presence of God to us. So when we talk about the book of Nehemiah, here is the power of this. These two chapters, chapter 4 and 5, we're going to see the challenges of opposition and how this season of rebuilding the Jerusalem walls came all about. Then we're going to talk about this discouragement that Nehemiah and the people of Israel face, and also how prayer, leadership, and unity was portrayed and shown through the book, accomplishing God's purpose for us. So the first focus on this message, and you heard some of it last Sunday, they were facing external threats, and in the area of economic threats, social threats, and then you have these political threats, and then you have all these challenges that they were facing constantly, and people were mocking them, calling them feeble Jews, and saying and claiming that their work would be futile, saying that even a fox will break the wall. So have you ever been in that place where you have a vision from God, you have a personal purpose, you have an idea for a plan, and when you share that with people, they laugh at you? Hello? Especially your family. These are the biggest enemies of anything great, because guess what? They saw you grow up and they know you. So when you come and say, I'm going to be a great singer, I'm going to be a great architect, I'm going to build this, build that, I'm going to launch a new business, they laugh at you because they know you. At least they think they know you. Here is what they don't know. What they don't know is that once God gives you a plan and a purpose, and he revealed himself to you, and he touched you, something great is unlocked inside of you, And even the people who think they know you, they don't actually know you, because now the true you will come out. And when you see that, it's when you experience this presence of God like never before. And my hope is that we all understand that true success is finding God's plan for our life and then living it out. And the beauty of that is that we all have free will. Say with me, free will. So in other words, you have to choose, and you have the liberty to choose. And that's the challenge. The challenge is that God has a plan for you, but you also have the option to reject that plan and then follow your own heart and your own ideas and your own vision and your own dreams. But if you say yes to God's plan, guess what? He's so powerful and so loving that he will ensure that as you fulfill that dream for your life, his dream for your life, you will also experience a fullness, that you will be at peace, and you are going to rejoice, and you're going to be blessed, and you're going to bless the people around you and your family. But we also have the freedom to reject that vision. When you see the message that the Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching to the king, he said, "When God reveals himself to me, I did not rebel against his vision." Meaning, we all have the opportunity and the freedom to rebel to God's vision. And we rebel and say, "I'm going to be in rebellion and I'm going to receive it." God is a gentleman, so he's going to allow you to do what you want to do. So if you want to rebel to his vision, he says yes. He will not fight you for that. If you say yes, then the whole heaven comes through you and begin to manifest what God wants for you. So my hope is that as we experience these external threats, you rest in the Lord. And do not let anything external define who you are and define what God wants from you. Especially now in America. So do you know that it's really hard to conquer America from outside because of the geographic position we have? Really hard. You have the ocean side by side, and for you to come to America, you really have to get your act together, because it's a lot. Now, do you know the only way you can fight America and even conquer America is it has to be an inside job. It has to be from inside. There's no other way. You have to weaken America from inside to do it. So if you focus too much in the outside and you don't pay attention to the inside, we're cooked. Okay, so we really have to get our act together, think and pray together. And same thing happens for your family, it happens for your church, it's for everyone. We have to really pay attention to what is happening inside. External threats, we have to pay attention to it, but they are not as dangerous as the internal threats. And people are going to despise us. Here is what 1 John 3:13 says. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world, what? And here we are, we want to be loved by everyone. We want to be golden coins. Everyone love me. I'm Barney. Love. That's not what the Bible says. Here is what Jesus says. What Jesus says? Do not be what? My brothers and sisters, if the world. So if everybody loves you, there is a problem usually. Okay, so if everyone loves you, there is a problem. Most likely, you are a people pleaser. You have codependency. Something is going on, because there is no way that if you're going to share with the world who you are, what you think, your words, everybody's going to clap. No way, Jose. That's not the way it works. People will hate you, especially when you embrace God's vision, but most importantly, and also when you express yourself. People want you to be who they want you to be, not who you are. And in 99% of the case, when you decide, I'm going to start saying no when I want to say no, and I'm going to start saying yes when I want to say yes, you start losing friends. Because most of your friends, and many of our friends, they are our friends because we are always saying yes to everything they want. But here is the challenge that we need to learn from Nehemiah, a man of God who received a vision. It can be anyone. God is spirit, so he can touch women, he can touch men, he can touch everyone, and anyone can have a vision from God. The reason here is that God's vision will never lack opposition. And the moment you have a vision from God, the moment you decide to live out your own personal vision, know this, you're going to face opposition. Expect it. Expect that. As you expect that, you will prepare for it and ask God the boldness, ask God his presence for you to walk the walk and say, I'm going to embrace this vision, I'm going to see it happen, and I'm going to stop until I see it happen, even for my family, for my business, for my ministry, for anything and everything on earth. I'm going to follow God. Now, God's vision will never lack opposition, but also God's vision will never lack resources. When you are going to follow God, you don't know where the finances are coming. When you are following the vision of God in the kingdom of God, guess what? Resources will come from the north, the east, the west, anywhere, because God is the one who provides. He's a special. Everything he calls, he supports. God is so loving. You will never have to take God to court for child support because he is so loving. You don't need to chase him. You don't need to bring him to court. He is a provider by nature. He will love you. He will provide for you everything you need. So every time you have a gift, what God is giving you, what God is expecting is this obedience. Once you say yes, then everything begins to align, and now you start walking. Do not worry about how much money you have in your bank account or in your pocket. Worry about saying yes in obedience to God's vision, and guess what? Resources will come from the north, east, west, or anywhere. He will show up and bless you so you can do what he asks you to do. Do you believe that? When Jesus was born, he had nothing, nothing. And then he raised these wise men from the east who came far, far away to bring gold and bring everything for him. So when God is calling you to do something, money should be the last of your worries. Even though you have to be good stewards of what God is giving you, do not let money stop you. Because there is no way you can fulfill God's vision knowing that the money that you have or the finance that you have will be enough. You will be bankrupt. If you, sometimes, I remember in my first years of ministry, someone said to me, you need a millionaire to come back you and say, hey, I'm going to support the vision. Let's finance this. And I said, if you give me a millionaire, it will be bankrupt in a month. I'm telling you, I need 3,000 millionaires. I need 1 million people. Because here it is, when you start this vision of making disciples, planting churches, touching the earth, multiplying, growing, there's no way that one person, even if you have all the millions in the world, can really support this. It has to be the people of God, millions of people, $1 each. Wow, that's it. And give me 1 million people who give me $1, and then we'll start doing this. That's what we need. It's not about money. It's about believing. It's about believing in God. But then you have to be ready to face the internal struggles, all this fight that Nehemiah was experiencing from inside. It was not the outside was actually targeting him and affecting him. It was the internal enemies helping rally the people. And then these internal conflicts, dividing, demoralizing them. These problems became actually the biggest challenge for Nehemiah, and he was there facing all these challenges in prayer, knowing that these people wanted to stop God's work, and they have these challenges. And this is what the book says: mortgage properties, they have all these issues with mortgage, mounting debt, food shortage. I mean, you can name different internal struggles. We have our own here at St. John, but by the grace of God, we don't have any debt. Hello? We don't have debt. So, you know, I'm rich because, you know, I come from a context of no money. So you need to understand that when I have $1,000, I feel like I win the lottery. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is it. Okay? So all my life, I've been walking with God by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, trusting that he will provide everything we need to accomplish his vision. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to start spending money, because he's asking us to be good stewards, that he's going to ask us and confront us and hold us accountable for every action we make. And he's going to ask us, what do you do with the resources that I gave you? So this tension between believing and taking a leap of faith. But the moment you stop believing and you start developing a strategy where cutting your budget, that's your strategy, at some point you're going to end up with nothing to cut. Do you understand that? Is cutting our budget is our strategy. That's not enough. You have to really believe and take a leap of faith and believe that God is going to provide what you need. Now, here's what Nehemiah 2:8 says. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. How many of you believe that the gracious hand of our God is upon us? And because of that, yes, just put your hand. If you're going to clap, clap, right? And that is the trust that we have, that when we pray, God is going to grant us our request. Are we asking something out of the ordinary? No. We want this church to be blessed. We want to see the Holy Spirit move. We want to see life transform. We want to see marriage coming together. We want to see divorce out of this room. We want to see death out of this room. We want to see sickness out of this room. Is that too much to ask? That's what the Bible says we should be asking for. I want to see people coming to the altar, repenting, getting baptized, making disciples. We're already in alignment with what he wants. So now we need to take care of our internal struggles and move on. Because here is the truth. The size of our vision determines the size of what? Big visions, big enemies. Small vision, small enemies. So we need to know that if we are striving for a big vision, get ready for great opposition and big enemies. So that's why people want to, even if they want just to say it to create chaos, they want to say something against America, because America is a great country. So if you go online and says, I don't care about America, I'm going to fight America, everybody goes, oh. Right? Because it can be a great friend, but it can be also a great enemy. So people are always trying to pick a fight with people who are great. Not because they don't have fear, it's because they want to be noticed. That's it. They want to call the attention. And then so they go and throw a stone at you, and the moment you say, now everybody knows. That's why when you see all this match in box or any teams in sports, the underdog wants to go. Why? Because no one knows them until they win that game to the one that is the champion. So no one cares. The champion won, okay. While the underdog wins, everybody's Why? Because inside, most of us are underdogs. Hello? So we identify with that. It's easy to identify with that. So right now, we are here. We are the remnant of St. John Community Church. We need to come together. We need to believe God, and we need to take a stand and believe, and God will bless us because he is with us. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Now, I've been teaching you that there is no such a thing as an empty room on earth. Everything on earth is filled by the Spirit of God or by the spirit of darkness. That God and Satan, they both, use people to accomplish their purpose. So these are our five personality types or five spirits that oppose God's vision. You have to pay attention to this for our church, but also for your family, but also for yourself. If you have a vision of launching a business or doing something great or just accomplishing your purpose in life, you're going to face these five personalities or five spirits according to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 4 and 5. Hear to this. You're going to love this. Number one, the mockers. Do you know these people? I know that when you hear this, names will come to mind. It's not me, it's you. Okay? Names will come to mind. The mockers, this individual ridicule and belittle efforts to pursue a noble vision. The sarcasm, they laugh, they discourage you, they humiliate you to people who are trying to implement a positive change. And when you see that, God will say, you know what? You really have to quiet all the voices outside. Let people laugh at you all day. James Armstrong, he went to the moon and people were laughing about him. And then when he got to the moon, he said, who's laughing now? Okay? So we have to really protect our hearts and understand that God wants to bless us, but mockers are there to try to persuade you to stop. In modern times, people who undermine innovative ideas, they focus on your flaws and your weaknesses in order to stop you, to stifling creativity and progress. They are cynical, and they want to stop you because they don't want to do anything, and your success makes them look bad. Some people want you to stop working, stop being effective, because every time you get up early in the morning and work, every time you are successful, they are without excuses to also get up and do something about it. Because you come from the same place they are coming, the difference is you are doing something with your life, they are doing nothing. And seeing you that way made them feel less and made them look bad. And that's why they want to stop you. So watch out with the mockers. Number two, the conspirators. They engage in secretive plotting and manipulation to sabotage initiatives that God is implementing. In Nehemiah's time, they were behind the scenes, schemers who sought to derail the rebuilding efforts. You're going to see that all the time. People who are not able to go to you and say what they think, but they go behind you and start, you know, bringing people behind the scenes, scheming, planning, and sowing a seed of doubt here, sowing a seed of doubt there. When God gives you a vision, he's going to give you the faith to fulfill that vision. But you know what is the enemy of faith? Doubt. So these people come, these conspirators come, and they start sowing seeds of doubts. Feeble Jews, even a fog will destroy that world. They start saying in things, sowing seed of doubt, to the point where you say, I'm not going to do anything. Who am I? I'm here. I'm not going to do anything. I don't have the power. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the degree. I don't have the money. And then you start doubting, when everything we do and everything we have is by grace. It's not by performance. It's by God's unfailing love. Remember this. Whatever you are going to do is not based on your skills. It's not based on your resources. It's not based on your performance. It's based on God's unfailing love. He loves you so much that he wants to see you grow. I know that Chris was here with Rachel singing, and he was singing like this, looking at her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My daughter. That's all. That's all. Hello. Once you are a daddy, that's what you want to see. You want to see your children go bigger than you. Hello. That's what you want. So if my daughter outperform me, I say, hey, hallelujah. You know, if you are a true father, you want your children be excel. Why? Because they are going to start where you finish. Hello. They are going to start where you finish. So you have your journey where you stop, they start. So they already have it. Years ahead of you. They have what they have, what God gave them, and they also have what you gave them. They have a double portion, my friend. They have to be greater. And that's why I really believe that we need to be careful with all these people. Do not join them. They try to find you, and they try to fool you into conversation that you didn't ask for it, and then before you know it, what am I doing in this conversation? I need to stop this. I need to exit right now. Do that. Don't side with conspirators. Number three, the fearmongers. Do you know these people? They don't sow seed of doubt. Here's the behavior. These adversaries spread fear and uncertainty, exaggerating threats to create what? panic and discouragement. That's Tobias and all these guys in the book of Nehemiah, the Ammonites. They were trying to say, hey, the king will come. We will kill you. There's no way to escape this. They thrive on creating a culture of what? Anxiety. Why? Because if you are anxious, you are not trusting God. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God didn't give you a spirit of fear or anxiety. He gave you what? A spirit of power, self-control, a sound mind, and the perfect love will take out what? Fear. So when you are anxious, which is normal because you are a human, hello, you are alive, you're going to get anxious even though you can hide it, but everyone gets anxious. Some people are better at hiding it. Okay? But in reality is, that's okay, you are alive, you are human, but then you do what? You run to Jesus and say, God, you didn't give me a spirit of fear or anxiety, you give me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, self-control, a sound mind. Come, Holy Spirit, this anxiety has to bow right now in the name of Jesus. And it's gone. Now you can get up and do it again. Reject that culture of anxiety. So my hope is that nothing doesn't matter what you hear here at St. John. Don't get anxious. Breathe. Pray. If whatever you hear is so alarming because these people are expert on exaggerating things. They make things bigger. Amplify the problem so you are fearful. When you see that, it's time to do what? Pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. The whole idea behind this is to prevent change and maintain the status quo. They don't want us to move forward. If you are in your personal life and you are in your business, they don't want you to move forward. They want you to keep the status quo. Number four, the opportunist. The opportunist. These people, they prioritize personal gain over collective goals, seeking to exploit situations for their own advantage. Self-serving actions can derail community-focused initiatives. So, personal agendas instead of community agenda. We are a church. And guess what? We need your agenda, your vision to be in alignment with God's agenda and God's vision so we are all together as one. And I say this to leaders all the time. When we come to a meeting, my hope is that you can share in that meeting whatever you think, whatever God is saying, because maybe God is saying to us something through you. Don't say, I'm not going to say anything. No, I believe that everyone in this room, and every time we go to a meeting, we all have the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Holy Spirit wants to share, wants to give us direction through everyone. Every word is important. Every thought is important. We need to create that in that environment. So I encourage people to share. Now, once the meeting is over, once we adjourn and we say, this is what we're going to do as a team. You know how much I care about your personal idea? Zero. Okay? Now it's time to talk about what the team is going to do. And you don't leave the meeting saying, oh my goodness, that was the dumbest idea ever. Guess what? You are also dumb because you were in the meeting. Sometimes we talk and we don't even pay attention to what we're saying. You were part of the meeting. So my point is that once we come together as the body of Christ through a team or through a community, it's time to embrace that and forget about personal things. You have a time and a place to share your personal ideas, what God is saying to us, and then share it with the team. Let's all go through that. Think about those ideas and then pick one and then implement it. And when we do that, God will bless us in a mighty, in a powerful way. Do you believe that? And most importantly, church, do not marry ideas. Don't get married to ideas. Get married to your spouse. I'm married to Suleyne. I don't get married to ideas. So when I say an idea and they don't pick mine, I'm fine. I'm married to Suleyne, not to that idea. So I don't care. What I want is the best idea, the best thought, the best vision to be embraced by the team. So I don't care about what name it is. I don't care what. I only care that we are following God's vision and we are embracing it together. And when we do that, we thrive in Jesus. And the last one, the traditionalist. So these are the people, and again, I'm going to close with this. Traditions are awesome. We need traditions. But there is a point where tradition can be an obstacle for progress. It says they resistant to change. These individuals cling to old ways, opposing new ideas that deviate from established norms. They value tradition over progress. Now, in the kingdom of God, we need tradition. Jesus says, this is the tradition of the supper, of the communion. I pass on to you what I also received from the apostles. So tradition is important, but tradition cannot be an obstacle to move forward. So we have to really say, yes, I value this. This is awesome, but now times are changing. I need to be open to see how this tradition fits in the new context, in the new season that we are in. And in love tradition, yes, but also love people and love making disciples. And I love loving, and I love seeing people baptized, and I love seeing people coming to Christ. Therefore, I'm going to find a place for my tradition, but I cannot leave my tradition to stop the movement of God. Do you believe that? So my hope is that we have 45 years of ministry in this church. We have awesome traditions, but right now we don't have the capacity, the human capacity to really continue with many of those traditions. We don't have the human capacity. We don't have the resources in many cases to keep going with all the traditions. So right now we have to zoom and laser focus and say, what can we do effectively? And everything else, we're going to put it in a big box that is called nice to do, but not now. Okay? And then we're going to focus on what we actually can do and do well. And once we grow again, we go back to that closet and begin to bring back the things that we love that now we can do well. But we cannot keep shooting like Rambo in every direction with no ammunition. No, we need to stop that. We need to, let's define our target, go there, and then stay there until things are done. Can you do that with me? Let's pray. Loving Father, we believe in you. Come, Holy Spirit. It is written in Matthew 18:20, that when two or three come together in agreement about anything, will be done by my Father who is in heaven. Father, right now I come in agreement with my church, with our people, with your children. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, and we ask that you help us to rebuild St. John Community Church, that we are together to face any external threats, but also coming together against any internal threat. We ask that you give us wisdom how to deal with these five personalities and all these spirits, the fear mongers, the conspirators, the mockers, all these people who are trying to stop the vision that you have for this church. We ask you in the powerful name of Jesus, we don't want to rush ahead, but we also don't want to lag behind. Help us to walk in step with your spirit so we can fulfill your dream and purpose for St. John Community Church. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and worship St. John.
He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let our faith be more than enough, greater than the songs we sing.
Remember that every Sunday the altar is open for those of you who wants to join the church and become covenant partners. Send me an email or go to the Welcome Center and let your name there, share your name there, so we are ready every Sunday for this. And we have a small group Sunday, small groups after this. So don't go away, find a small group, join, and let's go deeper. It's impossible to make disciples in a Sunday service. We need to go deeper and spend time together in community. So let's pray. Loving Father, may you come, O Lord, and equip Nehemiah's workers with both tools and weapons. Let's equip everyone here, Father, for every good work. May He grant you wisdom to build and encourage and give you the courage to stand. Go forth as faithful builders and warriors, knowing that He who calls you is faithful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.